Know that you're always welcome here. Our doors swing on welcome hinges. And again, we are happy that you've decided to worship with us. This evening, I'm going to do something a little different. I don't have a PowerPoint or a worksheet. But what I planned on doing is probably preaching to about 9:30, if that's okay with you all. All right. Well, you're not laughing, so it's 9:30 it is. All right. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And as you do that, I want to share something with you. There was a little girl dressed in her Sunday's best, and she was running as fast as she could, trying not to be late for Bible class. And as she ran, she prayed. She said, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late. Lord, please don't let me be late." And while she was running, she tripped. She fell off the curb, getting her clothes dirty. She tore her dress. She got up. She brushed herself off and she started running again. And she again began to pray. She says, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late, but please don't shove me either." See, that was better than this morning. All right, okay. The moral of that story is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. The Lord heard her prayer and he wanted to make sure that she got there. If I were to poll 100 people and ask the question, "Do you believe if you're going to heaven?" the overwhelming majority would respond with a resounding yes. If I then ask the same group of people to give me the grounds for their belief, again, the overwhelming majority probably would respond by saying, "Because I believe in Jesus Christ." And there is certainly nothing wrong with that answer. In Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, the infallible word of God reads, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So we can all agree. We know that belief is necessary if we want to go to heaven. We can all agree with that. Belief is necessary if we want to go to heaven. But the question is this: is it enough? Is it enough? Can we be sure by just believing in God with mental assent guarantees that we will be saved and we will enter into heaven? In James chapter 2, in verse 19, the Bible records something that I want you to see, that I saw and I said, "Wow, all this time people say that, yes, I believe. I believe, I believe." And I thought, well, is that enough? In James chapter 2 and verse 19, the infallible word of God records, "You believe that God is one. You do well, even the demons believe and shudder." You see that? Even the demons believed and shudder. The demons not only believed in the one true God, they also know that God is holy. That's nothing new to them. So does anyone believe this? Do you believe that demons will enter into the kingdom of heaven? I can hear a pin drop. So I guess we all agree that we don't believe that demons will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So now if I ask that same poll of 100 people, "Do you believe that demons would go to heaven since they believe in God?" the majority would say no. Do you know why? Because demons are unholy. They are unholy. Demons are unholy while they believe in Jesus. They know that he died for us. They know that he is the Son of God. And while they believe that Jesus is all of that, they do not love him. They don't love him. You can say all day long, "I believe in him. I know that he came. I know that he died. I know who his father is. I know the walk that he had. But the question is, do you love him? Many people who profess to be Christians are the same way. They're no different. I want you to think about it. They too believe in the Son of God. They never will tell you in any other thing that they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that he came to earth. They know that he died for our sins and for this world so that we could have an opportunity of eternal salvation. But do they believe that belief is only necessary for their salvation? See, they believe that they're saved and they're heaven bound. When people say that, do you believe it? Oh, yes, I believe. I've accepted Christ in my heart, right? I've made it known that I've accepted it in my heart. I've made a public confession that I believe that Christ died for me. So the question is belief the only thing that God says about salvation? Well, if you don't know, if we were like the noble Bereans, we would go to the word of God to see what he has to say on the matter. And if it is not, we better make sure that God has said what we need to do on that matter. So the question is this: if belief is not the only thing, what else is needed? Turn your Bibles to Mark 16, 16. The infallible word of God reads, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, the part that really gets me is most everyone applies the belief part. I've never met a person that does not apply the belief part. All you have to do is believe. Do you believe? I believe. All right, well, you're saved. You believe? I believe. You believe in Jesus Christ? I believe. I will not. You have to believe. Well, why then, when the same Bible records baptism in the very same verse along with belief for salvation, the baptism part is the part that gets ignored? Why? Why is that? Let me ask you this. If you have a child, son or daughter, and they're of age to do things and function on their own, like, you know, bathe, eat, you know, take out the trash, you know, do little chores around the house, help out with the dishes and things like that. You say to your child, if you go to school and get your lesson and keep your room clean, you will get an allowance. And they get their grades done, but when you get home, the trash is not taken out. They never wash the dishes. They never do that part in which you agree. My question to you is, will you reward them with what you said you were going to do? No. Because the and joins in the thing that you need. You said, if you get the grades and keep your room clean, you will receive an allowance. Therefore, the Bible says, whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. There are many preachers who stand in the pulpit and falsely teach that baptism is not necessary for their salvation. And when you look at it, the conjoining word in the verse is and. It's like you're going to Longhorn or your favorite burger place and you say, I want a burger and fries. And what they do is they bring out fries. Will you accept that? I've seen worse. I know y'all know about the Popeye's chicken crave sandwich. How people are acting crazy over a chicken sandwich. So I can only imagine if you spend your money and you have placed an order and you said, I want a burger and fries, and they only bring out the fries, you will be disappointed. So why is it that we do the same thing with God?
If he says that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, why do we only focus on the belief?
I'm here to tell you that we can't pick and choose from God's word what we want to apply and what we don't want to apply. We have to obey God's word. And we don't get to pick and choose what part we want to obey. We have to obey it all. A lot of times, I think we get into this thing where we want to choose and pick what fits our end goal for ourselves. I think it's just a lot easier that we don't put any pressure on people. So we're just going to let them see. It says believe right here. And all you need to do is believe. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It says it right there. So if you believe, you're saved. All you have to do is say this prayer with me and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you're saved. And the word of God does not say that. That is the very reason why this morning I preached on making sure that the word of God is hidden in your heart. And when it is hidden in your heart, it ought to be ingrained in your heart. You ought to value it. It ought to be intentional and you ought to be steadfast in it. Because all around the world you have false teachers. You have false things that are being said about God's word. False doctrine will keep a lot of people out of heaven. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. If you don't obey it all and you leave it out and do what you want to do, you will receive the horrible boat of hell. I know a lot of times we don't want to talk about that. You know, I know we want to say that everybody's going to heaven because you're good. Well, I'm telling you this. If you do not obey God's word, how he says it, the way he says it, crossing your T's and dotting your I's, you will go to hell. So you can go and say that my preacher said that if we don't do what God says according to his will and his word, that we're going to hell. So I'm trying to encourage you to do what God says the way that he says it. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The infallible word of God says this: why call me Lord and do and not do what I tell you to do? Why call me Lord? Why say that you love me? Why call him Alpha and Omega and you're going to do what you want to do? Why is he the beginning and end and you do what you want to do? How is he the head of your life when you're doing what you want to do? What it sounds like to me that you are the God of your life. You are the head of your life. And you've made a decision to do what you wanted to do. And as a result, you'll be separated from God. God has always commanded complete obedience. I want you to tell me at what point in time that God says, I want you to do something a certain way, that he changed his mind some way along the line. I've never seen it. And there are dire consequences when you don't do exactly what he tells you to do. Think about it. Everyone who decided to do it their way, separated. Some struck down immediately. I'm so glad that he came and he died for us. Because if it was the way it was back then, a lot of us been gone a long time ago. You imagine that? Oh, well, you know, I believe then, but I said to believe and be baptized. Strike him down. He's gone. Oh, my goodness. I said to commune on the first day of the week. I said to come together, gather with the saints, to remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of my son on the first day of the week. You got folks that's doing it on Saturdays. Yeah, folks is doing it on Fridays. We got Friday night team worship. And then we got Saturday evening. And that way, so those who want to come on Sundays, they can if they want to. But if you came on Friday and or Sunday, on Saturday, you're okay. Where is that in the word of God? We have to get to a place that we will be completely obedient to God. We have to get away from that. He is the same God he was back then, and he is the same God today. He has not changed. Yeah, the world has changed.
Society has changed. Yes, it's gotten worse. But he is the same God who demands the same obedience. He demands for us to be the same way that we need to be. He hasn't changed. So the question I have for you is, do you know if you're saved? Do you know? And if you are, have you done it the way that God has prescribed it? It's going to be a sad day on Judgment Day for those of us who have decided to do it our way. I cannot imagine hearing those words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He gave you all of this time to get it right, to do it right. Forgiveness after forgiveness, repentance after repentance, second chance, Lord, if you just give me this chance, if you can just get me out of this, Lord, I just need another chance. Year after year after year after year, you've done it your way. And you wonder why you've gotten no further in your walk with Christ. It's not God. God is not the problem. Our obedience is. If you haven't grown, if you haven't gotten closer with God, maybe you ought to take a closer look within yourself and figure out, have I been completely obedient to God's word and his will? There's a lot of people who think that they're saved and they don't. And that's why it's important for us as believers to go out and teach the world the unadulterated truth, which is the word of God. He has commissioned us to do so, and we must do so. There will be many who will be lost because of it. And not only do you know if you're saved, are you obeying all that God commands? Can you truly say that? Can you truly look in the mirror and say to yourself, yes, I'm obeying all that God has commanded me? And if that is not the case, let me tell you something. You're here today in your right mind. You got your health. You have the ability to still read the words of God. You have your brothers and sisters in Christ here to support you. You have breath in your body. Now is the time to be completely obedient to God. We sing that song, "What Will Your Answer Be?" What will it be? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now that you have the truth? It's not something I made up. We went to scripture. You saw book, chapter, and verse. What are you going to do with that? I don't have to beat you over the head with this one. It's very clear that if we're not completely being obedient to everything that God says, we're in trouble. I want to encourage you that if you're here today to hear this word, according to Romans 10:17. I want you to believe in the very things that you have read for yourself, according to Acts 15 and verse 7. And not only that, I need you to repent. I need you to understand in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Then I want you to confess it. I want you to make it known. Make your election sure that it is Christ that I love. It is him who I know that died for me, giving me this opportunity of salvation that I don't deserve. We don't have time to be worried about what man has to say. We need to be concerned about what God has to say. That is the bottom line. You remember anybody in here wrestling fans back in the day? WWE? Yeah, that's what I mean. I know. I love wrestling. But you remember that line Stone Cold used to say? That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. This is the bottom line, because our God of heaven said so. And if that ain't enough for you, I don't have any other answer for you. We have to get back to doing what God says and how he says it. And if you're serious about that today and you are ready to change your life and give your whole heart, I always say that because sometimes we give him a portion of it and we keep a little bit for ourselves to do just some things that we want to do. He wants it all. He wants it all. So the question I'm asking you is, what are you going to do with God's
infallible word and truth. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, I'm encouraging you to get into Christ. And if you're here and you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, you want to change the direction that you're going in, you want to be better and completely give him your heart, I encourage you to do so now, making your need known as together we stand and sing.